Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. A lot of sports, a lot of stuff. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing you sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. This week on the radio after my show, Wednesday, Northern Iowa at Drake, 7:30 pregame. Need to get out and watch that game. Go to Drake Stadium, check it out. Enjoy. It's a great place to watch a basketball game. It's pretty cool how it looks now. Can have a beer and watch a basketball game. It's kind of it's all right. Thursday, you're going to get Oregon, Arizona on the radio. And on Saturday, Northern Iowa versus Bradley, 4:30 pregame. Sunday, NFL Pro Bowl games, 2 o'clock start. Now, I'm not a big Pro Bowl guy, but if you want to listen and you're in your car and you don't have anything better to do, then you can listen to it on the radio. And next Monday is Texas at Kansas. That's a huge game as well. So, welcome in. Once again, hope everybody had a great weekend. As always, getting to be the 4 o'clock hour, drive home safely if you're on your way home. I want to talk a little bit about my sponsors, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, Heritage Building Maintenance, Palmer Group. We'll go into more detail about them as we move along, but I couldn't do this show without them and enjoy having them in partnership with the show. Okay, so I think everybody understands what we, you know, we're going to talk about basketball. We're going to, we'll talk. I have some NBA takes today. I hope I can get to. But this was a weekend for the NFL. The NFL is a, it's big. And everything about it is big. And they have, I thought the, you feel bad for the, you feel bad for the San Francisco 49ers. You feel bad for Brock Purdy. You know, we've talked a lot about Brock Purdy. I don't think yesterday changed his career path. I think the only thing that was going to change his career path, if he'd had an outstanding game and led them to a victory, then I think the San Francisco 49ers would have looked differently at him. I still think, and we'll talk about that a little later in the show as well, I still think that he is going to be a big part of the San Francisco 49ers starting quarterback for next year. I think you're going to have to do some waiting on that. I think there's some dominoes to fall here before you're going to understand that one for sure. But let's talk about that first, that game first. It was, you know, it started with a Philadelphia drive down the field and a pass to Devontae Smith that by all things that you could see, it looked like a catch. I mean, I'm jumping up and down going, man, that is one of the best catches at a special time that I've ever seen. And here's where to somewhat the game changed in a very quick fashion. That was a fourth down play. It was the only place that Jalen Hurts, and we'll talk about him later as well. It's the only place that he could have thrown the ball that Devontae Smith could get to that nobody else could get to. And here's the really crazy thing. After you watch the play and you watch the slow-mo, when he catches that pass, I mean, he jumps up, he puts the ball down, jumps up, runs back. He's running by the sideline telling them, let's go, we need to do the play. I think deep down inside, Devontae Smith knew he did not catch the ball. But there was not a lot of camera angles. The booth did not call down. And one of the items that they talked about during the show yesterday is Kyle Shanahan's not a big throwing the flag check-in guy. And nobody on the San Francisco sideline seen Devontae Smith and what he was doing. Nobody from the San Francisco 49ers defense saw that what Devontae was doing in running to the sideline. Once again, it wasn't just an incomplete pass if it would have been overturned. It would have given the ball to the San Francisco 49ers. They wouldn't have been down 7-0. Maybe the game changes on that. Nobody knows, but it's just here's one of those things, and this is comparing the two coaches. I mean, Nick Sirianni, man, he was on it. He was, and so was Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Philadelphia Eagles. There's about five or six teams in the league, man. They use these challenges. They don't even need to get confirmation from upstairs. Sometimes they just throw the flag. Would it have been a different game? There's no way to tell because the injuries that happen, the injury to Brock Purdy and the injury to Jake Johnson after, I think that's his name, Jack Johnson afterwards, his injury, that didn't look good. Then Brock came back in, but you could tell he couldn't throw the ball. He hurt an ulnar nerve by his elbow that gave him no feeling for the football in his hand. You can't throw a football if you don't have any feeling in your hand. I heard a lot of people today talking about Brock Purdy and he was here and he was getting all this great coverage and all that, and then he has a little injury and he can't go out and perform. I'm like, I don't think there was anybody on the San Francisco 49ers sideline, bench, players, coaches, president, owner, that thought that it was a little, he couldn't feel his fingers. That's not a part of, it's not a big deal. I just didn't want to get hit again. Then everybody just saying, hey, he should just gone back out there and done whatever he got. Okay, let's remember this. He is the last pick, Mr. Irrelevant, which has been thrown out the door. He is on a very small contract. I don't have any idea about some of the incentives and all of that. You don't go. I mean, there was no way that San Francisco was going to make him go out and do something that he can't do. It raised a lot of issues with, and I think that the NFL, here's the first thing, the NFL is going to have to do something about this. When you have concussion protocol and all the things that these players have to do during concussion protocol or when injured, when they go out, there's no way that the third quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers for that day should have been Christian McCaffrey. Who cares how many quarterbacks you carry on your roster? I mean, it's the most important position in football. If you don't believe that, then you don't watch very much football. If you don't have one, you don't win football games. I don't know why they can't have a backup quarterback and then somebody that can still be dressed. And I think they should be able to have one that's sitting up in the booth or sitting up in the stands, whatever, that can come down. That wasn't what we needed was the last three quarters of that game, the San Francisco 49ers having to hand the ball off and not be able to throw a pass. It wasn't the three quarters because the guy, but from halftime on, I mean, that's all they could do. I mean, Brock Purdy came back in and he threw a couple of screen passes that you just is not the way his arm's supposed to work when you saw it. Now let's take a step back because I talked about that part. The Philadelphia Eagles defense played outstanding. Their offense struggled at times. And when you hear people, they scored 31 points. San Francisco 49ers, if they had more than four plays every time they had a possession, they punted all afternoon. They couldn't run any offense. If you don't have the possibility of making a pass, then the Philadelphia Eagles are quite impossible to beat. I don't want to take anything away from Jalen Hurts. I thought he played a very Jalen Hurts type game. He's just a good dude. He's a great teammate. He's a good dude. He hasn't had it easy. I mean, he had his job taken away from at Alabama, had to transfer to Oklahoma, played well in Oklahoma. No one bought into it. You know who did? Howie Roseman bought into it. He said, I think Jalen Hurts can be our quarterback. our leader. And I think that football team believes that. And I think they have great reasons to believe that. The only thing that I don't get about the Philadelphia Eagles, and Jalen Hurts has even said this, man, I have a bounty, using the word bounty, which is probably not, but he's a running quarterback. Anytime he steps out of the pocket, people are going at him. They're going to hit him. And towards the end of the game, they ran him like four or five times in a row. I'm like, what are you doing? You are ready to go to the Super Bowl, and you're running Jalen Hurts down by the goal line, and your backup quarterback is Gardner Minshew, who I think Gardner Minshew is amazing. I love following him. He's a hoot on social media, and he's a great backup quarterback. But that's not the quarterback that you want to take you to the Super Bowl. And you're running Jalen Hurts. You had no reason in the world. You didn't even have any reason to have him in the football game. The San Francisco 49ers could not move the ball. Why was Gardner Minshew not in the football game? What happened to Brock Purdy was a freak accident. And you have a ticked off San Francisco team, and you kept him on the field. I did not understand that. But it is a great win for Philadelphia. It's a great win for the fans of Philadelphia, who are absolutely, positively crazy. I mean, when you have to put, you can't climb up poles and swing from pole. When you have to put things up to say you can't do this, that means you're living in a crazy sports town. And that is a crazy sports town. They've had a good run. The Philadelphia 76ers are good. The Philadelphia Phillies were in the World Series. And now you have the Philadelphia Eagles going to the Super Bowl. I'm very excited for Nick Sirianni. And I've said this before on the show. Nick Sirianni might have had the worst opening press conference, and then mini press conference after that. And now you start to get him a little bit. He's a man child, man. He wears his stuff on his sleeves. He's excitable. He'll say anything. It doesn't matter. He's there for his guys. His guys are there for him. And it's quite amazing. And that is a huge deal for the Philadelphia Eagles. There's been a lot of coaches for the Philadelphia Eagles that have not made a Super Bowl. And now Nick Sirianni is one of those. And I've seen bets on both sides. I've seen Philadelphia 3.5. I've seen Pick'em. I've seen Kansas City 2.5. So kind of halfway through the program today, I'll try to go on and see what some of the major ones have as a point spread. I think right now, until you figure out rosters on Kansas City side, now you have 2 weeks. How's Patrick Mahomes? How's the three wide receivers that went down yesterday? How's the offensive lineman? How's the defensive lineman? How's the injury report look? How's the injury report look for Philadelphia? If you're taking bets this far out, it's because you want to get an edge. I don't think you're going to see a lot of line movement this week, but you're going to see some line movement over the weekend of next week and the first couple of days, because you're going to start seeing how many people are at practice and how many people are actively practicing. Sorry. Thought I had that off. My bad. So you have to take into consideration all those things before, because I have a feeling that if things stay the way they are right now, that I would think that Philadelphia is going to be anywhere between 1.5 and 3.5. And then if you start seeing this wide receiver can't play, this person can't play, and Philadelphia stays pretty clean, it might go up a little bit more than that, but they're going to be pretty particular about what that point spread is. So I think Jalen Hurts, I thought the offensive line did a really good job. The defense is, my goodness. the pressure that they were putting on Brock Purdy. And it's not like the San Francisco 49ers offensive line is not a good offensive line. The play that he got hit on, you know, that's one thing quarterbacks, you know, that's one of the bigger things that quarterbacks are concerned with is how is the, on their follow through, how many injuries happen to quarterbacks on their follow through. So I was very proud of watching that Philadelphia game and excited for Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has been through a lot. And the one part I want to make sure that I say this again. No disrespect to the Philadelphia Eagle defense and what they did when Brock Purdy and their backup quarterback was in. After that and the yards or whatever, when you can't throw a football, you can't win in the NFL. It's impossible. So when we come back, and I got about 12 seconds here, we're going to talk about the Kansas City Cincinnati game. I mean, this game had build up even more than, you know, the fans in Philadelphia are crazy and they were having a hoot. The mayor of Cincinnati was crazy and maybe talked a little bit too much. That's only a little bit of that game. The fun part of the game was watching two quarterbacks that are not very old and going to be around for a long time. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. When we come back, we're going to talk about that Kansas City Chiefs, Cincinnati Bengals, and where we head from there. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101. You're listening to Steen on Sports, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Got a lot of football in. A little crazy weather, somewhat, but a little chilly out there today. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. Today's Monday, so Wednesday, Northern Iowa at Drake. Get out and see a game at the Knapp Center. See a Drake Bulldog game. And it's exciting. Northern Iowa and Drake are both scratching and clawing, trying to get that, be the number one team and try to get to the NCAA tournament. It's some crazy NCAA basketball. We'll try to fit some of that in today. Want to say hello to Nana. She had a couple appointments today, so she's finding out good news as we move along. She's doing a lot better. She hung out with us all day yesterday and watched sports with us all day yesterday. It was kind of cool. DJ's been spending a lot of time downstairs with me, so he's not as happy as he is, but he's been awesome. So that's really good. So, but always, she puts a twinkle in my eye every day and, kind of do this show because I know she listens. So that's kind of cool. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. Provides designs, engineers, installs programs and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security to the facility. Located in Ankeny, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for various high-end employment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation, machinery, manufacturing company. Okay, it's a rematch. It's a rematch of epic proportions with none other than Mr. Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. And after their games from the week before, you could, you know, Patrick Mahomes with a bad ankle. And to be really honest, the Cincinnati taking care of Buffalo with little or no trouble. Kansas City in a game with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And even talking about that, Philadelphia did not have a tough game against the New York Giants. The San Francisco 49ers struggled with Dallas. We'll talk a little bit about Dallas here later in the show as well. Then you get to conference championships, and you have the Cincinnati Bengals going to Arrowhead Stadium. And I think the game was, I think it was a lot like people thought it was going to be. When you take a look at the box score, passing Joe Burrow through for 270, Patrick Mahomes threw for 326. When the Bengals rushed for 71, Burrow had 30 of that. The Kansas City rushing attack was 42. It's just a lot of the things that you see. The biggest thing, Joe Burrow had two interceptions, and we've said all along, when you're in the playoffs and games are on the line and you're playing better competition, whoever comes out most clean in the turnover department is going to be the winner of the football game. This was a back and forth game. It was 13-6 at half. Each team scored a touchdown in the third quarter. Cincinnati scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter to tie it up, and they kind of alternated possessions, and they did, if you listen to people, they were backed up. I think they were on their, I think when they punted, maybe they were on their 16. It was either the 16 or the 12, right around in there. Most times when you kick with the amount of time that was left on the clock, you kick diagonally to a sideline to keep everybody in on that side of the field. Most cases, if you kick it to that area, they just step out of bounds so that you can have as much time as possible. The Cincinnati Bengals didn't do that. They kicked the ball to the middle of the field and Sky Moore. And the reason Sky Moore is back there is he's dynamic returning punts. His issue is with dynamic comes fumbling issues when getting hit. He did not get hit and took it for, I don't remember the exact, it probably, I'm going to say between 26 and 30 yards. He got 29-2. So yeah, he got past the 50-yard line. They had to make, they threw a couple passes, didn't get much yards. Patrick Mahomes scrambles and gets hit late out of bounds. And we'll talk about the late hit and some of the penalties and some of the things here in just a second. They get down. It gives them an extra 15 yards. It's a 40-some yard field goal for Harrison Becter, and he hits it, and the Kansas City Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. Now that's a quick overview. This game was hard fought. It was a fun game to watch. You have, I think Joe Burrow is 25, Patrick Mahomes is 27. A really, really talented quarterbacks nowadays play till they're 35 at least. So you're looking at 8 to 10 more years of these two quarterbacks being two of the top quarterbacks in the AFC. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Zach Taylor's not going anywhere. Andy Reid's not going anywhere. To be really truthful with you, I had a long discussion this weekend over social media about Eric Bieniemy and saying that there has to be something wrong. Why aren't people interviewing him? I think one thing, he's interviewed a lot over the last 3 years, and I've said this all along. If you're an offensive-minded coach that's out interviewing for jobs, if you're interviewing at a job that doesn't have a quarterback when you're used to playing with Patrick Mahomes, you're better off to be an assistant coach. He's a very well-paid assistant coach. And everybody wants to say that it is all Andy Reid. I'm one of those people that don't believe that. I think it is a combination of Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, and Patrick Mahomes. I think they're a three-headed monster. I think it works. I think the way they play defense and that bend don't break in Steve Spagnuolo's defense, I think it works. It wouldn't work with everybody. It wouldn't work with everybody because when you give up a big play, you put a lot of pressure on your quarterback. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs happen to have a quarterback that's really comfortable doing that. This makes you think. If you take back, because one of the main reasons I think the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Cincinnati Bengals yesterday was because of their defense. They put pressure. I think they sacked him between 5 and 7 times. I can't remember if they got a half on one or whatever, but they put pressure on him constantly when he was in the pocket. Just a side note, this makes you wonder what's up with the Buffalo Bills. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, by the end of the game, wide receivers that not very many people even know. Patrick Mahomes threw for 326 yards. Josh Allen struggled. Their offense struggled, and their defense couldn't put any pressure. Joe Burrow wasn't touched. Joe Burrow was more than just touched in this game. He still was 26 for 41 for 270 yards. He was sacked 5 times. Patrick Mahomes sacked 3 times. 3 times for 11 yards. Joe Burrow 5 for 32. That's just not giving him much time. It was offensive line, and he has two offensive. He's down 2 offensive linemen, and you have to be able to fight through that and play through that. Patrick Mahomes. Joe Burrow's down 2 linemen. Patrick Mahomes is down 3 wide receivers. And it was his time. It's that the most important thing that you can have in the National Football League. And I've said this before. I was saying this a lot yesterday. You have to be well coached. I do believe, looking at all 4 of these teams, the San Francisco 49ers, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Kansas City Chiefs, Cincinnati Bengals, all have excellent coaching staffs. There's number 1. Number 2, you have to have a quarterback that you trust to run the offense you want to run. I think that 3, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, and Patrick Mahomes, I think they have that. With Brock Purdy, I think he fit in to that offense. He fits into Kyle Shanahan's offense. He probably fits into it better than Trey Lance does. Jimmy Garoppolo he has too much experience to say that about Jimmy Garoppolo, but the toughest thing that you have to do with Jimmy Garoppolo, you have to keep him on the field, and it's difficult to do. I think that Brock Purdy does a great job. He's not going to lose you a football game. And when you look at his touchdowns to interceptions, there's a reason for that. He knows he's not going to just willy-nilly run. He runs for a reason. And he was able to make all the throws. Do I know what that means going into next year? We'll talk about that later in the show, because you're starting to hear a couple of out there that there may be a change or two in the San Francisco 49ers area. But when you look at Pat Mahomes and Joe Burrow, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They are two. If you have 6 quarterbacks, and I don't even know if we have 6 quarterbacks anymore, because I have a hard time with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady because of their age to say that you could talk about that. So I don't think you have that many. But when you take a look at what's out there, there are not a lot of quarterbacks out there. So when you have one, you need to keep him. I mean, I'm not giving up on Josh Allen. And then your Josh Allen is in a division where you have Miami has no idea what Tua is going to do. I don't think the New England Patriots have any idea what they have. And the New York Jets do not have any. The Bengals are set. The Ravens, if they bring back Lamar Jackson, are set. The Cleveland Browns think they're set. They paid a lot of money. Boy, could you imagine if what Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson got paid for their contracts and they don't perform better than what they performed in this past year? Wow. Up and coming, Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence is a real deal, folks. And Tennessee doesn't have a quarterback. Indianapolis doesn't have a quarterback. The Houston Texans don't have a quarterback. The Chiefs do. The Chargers do. The Raiders don't. The Broncos have Russell Wilson. Who knows? So in the AFC right now, the Bills have a quarterback that you know that you can trust. The Bengals have one. I'm not even going to give the Ravens that opportunity. I think the Jaguars have one, and I think the Chiefs have one, and the Chargers have one. That's five teams. Five teams out of 16 that have a quarterback that you know that you can count on. You go to the NFC, I think the Eagles have what they need. I think the Cowboys have what they need. And I think the Giants and the Commanders are going to go through a little bit of the next month not knowing. I don't know about the Vikings. I love what Detroit has with Jared Goff. I don't think the Packers know. I guarantee you the Chicago Bears don't know. Because for every amazing play that you saw Justin Field make this year, you saw him with wide open receivers not be able to make a pass. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers don't have one. The Carolina Panthers don't have one. The New Orleans Saints don't have one. The Atlanta Falcons don't have one. The San Francisco 49ers at this point don't have one. Seattle has, the Rams, who knows with Matthew Stafford. And the Cardinals with Kyler Murray, who knows. You're in for some long football seasons with what we have coming back in the National Football League. So when you take a look at Jalen Hurts and you take a look at Joe Burrow and you take a look at Patrick Mahomes, you have a bright future. You have a very bright future out there. Now, there's some things that can go on. There's some things that can happen. There's some things out there. And I'm going to tease you. When we come back at for the last segment, I'm going to tease you what I think the 49ers are going to do. And it started popping up today. And it makes perfect sense. And we're going to have to see what happens. But you are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. I have the San Francisco 49er crystal ball. We'll take a look at that, and we'll take a look at some of the other football teams and what they need to do to get where the Philadelphia Eagles and Kansas City Chiefs are. I'll be right back.
101.3 FM and 1700 The Champ is Des Moines' home for professional play-by-play. Every Kansas City Chiefs and NFL primetime game live on terrestrial radio. We also have your baseball covered with the Minnesota Twins. Hey, and don't forget the...
Welcome back, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing you sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700champ. Website 1700champ.com. I will get Thursday's show and today's show up on the website tonight. This segment is going to be brought to you by Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2023, it's now even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting companies and candidates on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 300 jobs are open on their website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs including in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, and mortgage and banking. keep both the staff and candidates very busy, check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. Once again, Palmer Group. It is an employee-owned employment services company. It's pretty important nowadays, so keep that in mind. Okay, so just to make sure everybody's clear and all the people today that were on social media and on TV and saying dumb things. It is now pretty much out there that Brock Purdy has suffered a torn UCL that will sideline him 6 months. They haven't decided if they're going to do surgery or what how the treatment plan is going to go. You take that, we're in February. So February, March, April, May, June, that puts you in July. If, you know, not knowing exactly when the surgery is going to happen, that could put you in August. So that's going to be a lot of being able to throw a football through training camp and getting ready for the season. That's a bad break for Brock Purdy. Now, for some of the people, complained about his toughness, he had a torn UCL, and he still came in for the San Francisco 49ers and said that he would quarterback the rest of the game. Brock Purdy has more everything than most people even ever dream of. He saved San Francisco 49ers season. And just to take that on a side note, I said I was gonna drop something on you. That even makes it more interesting to see what's going to happen. Before that, if it had just been, you know, working through and trying to get back into without it being torn, I thought, well, you know, you have Brock Purdy as a backup. Jimmy Garoppolo is definitely they're gonna drop Jimmy Garoppolo. They're gonna trade him. My expectation was that Trey Lance might get traded as well. And here's my reasoning for the Trey Lance one is because the type of quarterback that Trey Lance is, and I'm not saying that Trey Lance can't be an amazingly good quarterback and has a skill set that is totally different from what Brock Purdy brought to the table. It's just not the same skill set. And I don't know if it's a skill set that it's a skill set that Kyle Shanahan likes about throwing the deep ball, but it's not the same kind of thing in running his very direct offense and how it works. I think that's still going to be a work in progress. So some of the things you're hearing today, I might have heard it more just because of the different shows I tend to listen to, talked a lot more about that today, is the one person that has a chance to go to San Francisco. You don't have to trade for him. He can just sign. He wants weapons. He wants a coach that understands, wants everybody to work hard. If Tom Brady is the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers next year with this roster intact, and that's another issue that the San Francisco 49ers have, and that issue is trying to keep all their pieces together because you got some guys on both offense and defense that want paid. That is a fit. The San Francisco 49er offense is a fit for Tom Brady. Tom Brady didn't have a hard time throwing the football this year. He had a hard time getting people on number one, he didn't have an offensive line. And number two, he had some receivers that couldn't get open. The San Francisco 49ers have no problem getting people open. He has a run game. He has a play caller in Kyle Shanahan that he respects. Makes a lot of sense, especially with this news. I truthfully thought if he didn't get hurt and he played a medium to good game yesterday that Brock Purdy would be the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers next year to start the season. And now with this injury, that can't happen. Brock Purdy doesn't cost them a lot of money, so they can keep him on, and he can back. Who would not want to be? And I didn't even mention George Kittle. I mean, that gives Tom Brady his tight end that he loves and adores so much. The San Francisco 49er offense fits what Tom Brady likes to do. He has the ability to throw the deep ball. Anybody that doesn't think that Tom Brady can still throw the deep ball, they just didn't have a wide receiver, i.e. Mike Evans, who could run down and actually get as far out as Tom Brady could throw the ball. I think that's going to be very interesting what happens there. But once again, I'm heartbroken for Brock Purdy. Now you know his faith, his stewardship, his leadership capabilities that, listen, I know what I can't do. It's not going to hurt any more than it already hurts. I can go out there and hand the ball off so you don't have to have Christian McCaffrey back there just kind of running around trying to do whatever we can do. I will try to help you do it. That's what you expect from your star players, right? You want that. This is from a role player. This is not me, but I mean, this is Mr. Irrelevant in the last pick in the draft. Now, there's some people on the San Francisco 49ers that were just giddy that he was still there with the last pick in the draft. They knew exactly what they were getting. They knew exactly how he would fit into their offense, and they knew exactly what to do with him. And it won them some football games. And this is the thing that they said again today. Well, who did he play? I just went through the whole NFL team thing. Nobody played great teams every week. Nobody. There are twice as many bad football teams in the NFL right now than there are good teams. There's 32 teams. And what did I say? There was eight. We'll revisit when we bop over to the second hour. Just how many people? I mean, how many teams? It's not San Francisco or Brock Purdy's fault that he won games against teams that he should have won. The issue that the NFL has with a lot of their teams, their ownership, their players and everything, is they don't win games against the teams they should. That's why you have so many haves and have-nots. It's never been bigger to me, the haves and the have-nots. There's way more have-nots than there used to be. There used to be have-nots, and then on any given day, there's enough teams in the NFL right now that there's six to eight that not even on any given day are they beating a team that is remotely better than they are. And seeing remotely better is probably a cop-out on my end. But you have enough. We'll talk about it. But we have so much basketball to talk about. I watched a couple of NBA games this weekend. Probably if I watch more, even makes it more relevant that I'm bald, because I would be ripping my hair out watching some, number one, watching NBA players, number two, watching NBA offenses, and number three, watching NBA referees, and number four, watching NBA whining people making hundreds of millions of dollars whining about calls. It's embarrassing. And it's almost everybody. And after you hear all these things about the refereeing this past weekend, those are the two best refereeing teams in football. How do you know that? Because they grade them. I think you had the four best teams, I mean the four best squads, and then they'll go back and they'll reevaluate, and the best squad gets to go and do the Super Bowl. And I'm assuming you have a backup squad as well, just in case anything happens. Especially in the world that we live in nowadays with all the things going on. But the NFL has a problem, and it's not what happened this weekend. I thought this weekend was great. It wasn't what happened in the earlier rounds. I thought those rounds were great. But they do have a problem with not having enough good football teams for their product to be good in every game on every Sunday. And I don't know how to help that. We're going to have to figure that out. We got a summer to do it in, and a winter, and a spring, and a summer to do. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. I'll be back right after this break. Here's a look at